brought to you by Penguin.
The Cockroach by Ian McEwan. Read by Bill Nighy.
1. That morning, Jim Sams, clever but by no means profound, woke from uneasy dreams to find himself transformed into a gigantic creature. For a good while he remained on his back, not his favourite posture, and regarded his distant feet, his paucity of limbs, with consternation. A mere 4, of course, and quite unmovable. His own little brown legs, for which he was already feeling some nostalgia, would have been waving merrily in the air, however hopelessly. He lay still, determined not to panic. An organ, a slab of slippery meat, lay squat and wet in his mouth, revolting, especially when it moved of its own accord to explore the vast cavern of his mouth, and, he noted with muted alarm, slide across an immensity of teeth. He stared along the length of his body. His colouring, from shoulders to ankles, was a pale blue, with darker blue piping around his neck and wrists, and white buttons in a vertical line right down his unsegmented thorax. The light breeze that blew intermittently across it, bearing a not unattractive odour of decomposing food and grain alcohol, he accepted as his breath. His vision was unhelpfully narrowed. Oh, for a compound eye! And everything he saw was oppressively colourful. He was beginning to understand that by a grotesque reversal, his vulnerable flesh now lay outside his skeleton, which was, therefore, wholly invisible to him. What a comfort it would have been to catch a glimpse of that homely, nacreous brown. All this was worrying enough, but as he came more fully awake, he remembered that he was on an important, solitary mission, though for the moment he could not recall what it was. "I'm going to be late," he thought, as he attempted to lift from the pillow a head that must have weighed as much as 5 kilos. "This is so unfair," he told himself. "I don't deserve this." His fragmentary dreams had been deep and wild, haunted by raucous, echoing voices in constant dissent. Only now, as this head slumped back, did he begin to see through to the far side of sleep and bring to mind a mosaic of memories, impressions, and intentions that scattered as he tried to hold them down. Yes, he had left the pleasantly decaying Palace of Westminster without even a farewell. That was how it had to be. Secrecy was all. He had known that without being told. But when exactly had he set out? Certainly it was after dark. Last night? The night before? He must have left by the underground car park. He would have passed the polished boots of the policeman at the entrance. Now he remembered. Keeping to the gutter, he had hurried along until he'd reached the edge of the terrifying crossing in Parliament Square, in front of a line of idling vehicles impatient to pestle him into the tarmac. He made a dash for the gutter on the far side, after which it seemed a week passed before he crossed another terrifying road to reach the correct side of Whitehall. Then what? He had sprinted, surely, for many yards and then stopped. Why? It was coming back to him now. Breathing heavily through every tube in his body, he had rested near a wholesome drain to snack on a discarded slice of pizza. He couldn't eat it all, but he did his best. By good luck, it was a margarita, his second favourite. No olives, not on that portion. His unmanageable head, he discovered, could rotate through 180 degrees with little effort. He turned it now to one side. It was a small attic bedroom, unpleasantly lit by the morning sun, for the curtains had not been drawn. There was a telephone at his bedside. No, 2 telephones. His constricted gaze...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?